brilliantly acrobatic save. Xhaka's corner, Shiro!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome, welcome, everybody.
Welcome
to another exciting, exciting installment of the V. R. Show. With your host that does the most.
Yeah.
The one that is making toast right now. Because I'm cooking.
Yes, sir.
The one, the only, DJ Stones.
And with him. Is the tribal chief himself.
I acknowledge you.
The real one.
I acknowledge you.
I need to like speak in like Samoa there, but don't know. The only problem is that I don't know the language.
Yeah.
But it's just a minor problem.
Just a small problem.
Just a small problem. Yeah. But I am the tribal chief. I am DJ Sticks.
Yeah, in the flesh.
Yes.
In the radio.
New PSG waves. Fan. In the waves as well.
Yeah. We're waving at you.
Oh, thank you. I am waving back.
Boy, do we have a show for you. Where to start?
There's so much.
Why not start in London?
Okay. What happened in London?
Where Arsenal were beaten at home. I'm not going to say destroyed because it was just 1-0.
Yeah.
So PSG played Arsenal at home.
Mm-hmm.
Arsenal
mm-hmm.
playing home mm-hmm. in London for the UEFA Champions League semi-finals. And boy, was it a game.
No, that's insane. It was insane.
I really enjoyed
from
it.
From start.
3 minutes in, Ousmane Dembele scoring a beautiful goal. And then that became the game. And like, it was just, I like how Arsenal, I really liked how Arsenal kind of didn't take the foot off the gas. You could see they were rattled a bit for the until like the 20th minute.
They were shook.
And then they started playing their game. And I don't think Arsenal is out yet.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe PSG should have tried to get a bit of a bigger lead going into the second half. I mean, going to the second game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And PSG should not think that they've won it.
No, they shouldn't.
The moment they think they've won it, they're going to lose it. Because I'm telling you now, when Arsenal comes to, what is it called? The Stadia de Paris. Yeah, that one. When they get there, they're coming in with fire.
Yeah. From start. I think.
And if Arsenal gets that first goal in.
Oh my gosh.
PSG needs to come and know that they can still win it. Yeah. And if they think that they've won it already, when that first goal comes in, it's going to shake them harder than the first goal against Arsenal.
Yeah.
So they need to be composed.
Yeah, but also, I do want to mention that also for Arsenal, it's not going to be an easy one. Obviously, going 1-0 down. I do think the second leg, right, is more in favor of the team that's trading. As especially this season we saw with Dortmund, where Dortmund basically like almost destroyed Barca second leg. That 3-1. We saw some games where the second leg, the team that was trailing, managed to basically fight back. But Arsenal is going to Paris.
Yeah, and look, obviously, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy one for Arsenal.
No.
Any team that's playing at home has an advantage.
Yeah, for sure.
Playing teams like PSG, Lyon, Marseille, Dortmund, Bayern, Leverkusen.
Yeah.
What's that Scottish team?
Celtics.
Yeah. The Rangers.
Yes.
Playing teams like that at home is not easy because you have the crowd, like the crowd is crazy
against you.
You know,
the French fans are blinding you with those laser lights.
The French fans that went to London were in the stadium an hour before time already singing.
Yeah.
Letting the team know we're here for you.
Broski,
we're here for you.
I saw those pre-match videos and I was like, yo, this is what you call focus and passion.
And like, that's what you're going to when you go down to Paris.
Yeah.
Where majority of the fans are going to be singing, banging drums.
Outside the stadium even.
You know, and that's what you're going into right now.
Intimidating you when your bus is going in, yeah, in the driveway.
And like, unlike, well, even British football is like that. You know, from the moment they sleep, fans are already going to be going in there and like, you know, throw flare bombs and keeping them up. And that's how it is now.
Yeah.
All the best. And obviously tonight we have Barca and Inter, which is going to be a very interesting one. You
this
know?
One is a game of tactics.
It's a game of tactics. It is. And a part of me wants Barca to lose, just because Barca fans can be obnoxious.
What are you saying? Sometimes, what, you know? What did we do?
You know, like, this whole weekend, all I've been hearing is how they've beat Madrid. I'm not even a Madrid fan.
So why don't you like it?
And you know,
you're an undercover Madrid fan.
My problem is that for Barca fans, they think everyone who's not a Barca fan must be a Madrid fan.
It's true.
No.
If you're not for me, you are against me.
You know, I was even telling a group of my friends yesterday, I might just start supporting Atletico. Honestly, I might just start supporting Atletico.
Just
they are the most realistic fans I've ever seen out of the three. When Barca loses, when Barca is going through a bad spell, it's the refs. When Real Madrid is going through a bad spell, it's the refs. When Atletico is going through a bad spell, we suck. We need to get better. Thank you.
That's the mindset. Yeah.
They've had one coach for how long?
I don't know. He's been there forever.
As long as I've known Atletico Madrid, I've just known Diego Simeone.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And I'm legit considering
going to Atletico. This is not a bad time to go. I mean, they have a very good squad. Obviously, a good coach as well.
But I don't know if my heart... Like, you know, I'm really contemplating supporting two teams. Already one team is giving
me... No, look, I don't know if you're going to be able to handle that one.
Yeah.
If things go well, it's like amazing, you know? So it's a risk. It's a risk.
Yeah, like I'm not supporting them for them to win the league, you know? Just it's always nice to see how far they would be willing to go. Mm. But I'm not sure if my heart is willing to be invested into two teams right now. It's just a lot. But the one team is already like, you know, giving me the gears.
Yeah.
And it's really...
Actually, if you're like, if you're a Man United supporter, I suggest you go full on and you just
right now, just support Man United.
Because, I mean, if Man United loses this week and then your other team also loses,
you know,
this is how we get problems.
Like, I think at best, I'm supporting Man United and a local club.
Which you are a fan of two, sort of.
Yeah, but one is local.
Yeah,
I think my heart is like just good for that.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, I might just lose it, you know. Might become a bit violent, you know. You know, just we don't know yet.
Yeah.
You know, watching freaking another Onana spiel, and then I go watch La Liga, then watch my team get beaten 5-0, and then watch PSL, watch my team lose 2-1, and you're like, how the hell did you lose that? Nah, just a bad off weekend. Like, I look at you, like, early on in the year.
Yeah.
It was just horrible being you, you know. You had Man City losing, and then you had Barca losing, you know.
And
then you had Kaiser Chiefs losing.
Kaiser Chiefs.
You know, well. Like, in fact, earlier on this year, it was just horrible. For
yeah,
you,
no,
you know.
Actually, silently, I quietly stopped watching football.
I you see, and I can't have that in my heart.
It was a brief period. Where like
I can't do that, you
so
know.
So I suggest that, yeah, that you stick to one team. And
Like, Diego Simeone has been with Atletico Madrid since 2011.
Wow.
He's coached over 730 games.
Wow. So that's what? 14, 15 seasons? No, years.
Yeah.
Damn. So how many more seasons?
His contract is up until 2027.
Hmm. And I trust that they might renew that. Ah! What a farewell he's going to have. Man.
Yeah.
Because we don't have these like...
The second coaches. Last team he played for. Guess what team it was?
Second wasn't before Atletico, the team he coached.
So he retired in Racing Club in Argentina, in his hometown.
That's his playing career, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guess what team he played before Racing Club?
Simeone. Wasn't Barca?
No. He's never played for Barca.
He hasn't? I have no idea.
Atletico Madrid.
What?
He's had two spells at Atletico.
That's why he came back?
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
So he played for Atletico in the 1996-1997 season. And then he went to Inter. Mm-hmm. From Inter, he went to Lazio.
That's what I remember.
From Lazio, he went back to Atletico Madrid in 2003. And then in 2005, he went to Racing Club. And then in 2006, he retired.
Oh, wow.
And guess what was the first club he managed?
Atletico Madrid.
Racing Club.
Okay, cool. Makes
sense. In 2006. Oh, after he retired.
Straight after?
Yeah.
Like a Wayne Rooney situation.
Yeah. Damn. That's very nice.
Cool.
And he has 3 kids.
Which one? One of them plays in Serie A.
Yeah. Right. So Giovanni Simeone plays in Serie A. Gio Lucy Simeone plays for Real Majadoha. I think this is in the Spanish league. I know this team. And then I find out I'm totally wrong and it's in Argentina. I'm totally wrong. It is in Spain. Hell yeah.
Let's go.
The lower tier of Spain.
Oh, wow. The second division. Third division.
I have no clue what division this is.
Okay, cool. What does it say? What's the name of the division?
You know, it's bad when the badges look like they're made from, what's that thing called? Microsoft Word.
Damn,
indeed. Not even it's the fourth tier.
Woo!
And then his last son, Giuliano Simeone, plays for Atletico Madrid.
Okay, cool. That's dope.
That is
cool.
Being coached by your own father.
That is cool. Speaking of 2027, right? Barcelona is preparing a new deal.
With who?
For the monster, Hansi Flick.
Oh, that would be flipping good, eh?
Until June 2027.
That would be very, very
good. They're planning to get pen on paper in May.
That's going to be very good for them. Honestly speaking, looking at it, I wouldn't have minded if Hansi Flick took the Man United role.
The thing is, though, with managers like this, you have to completely give them control.
Yes.
Because Flick changes. Like, when you went to Bayern in 2020, you could see the Bayern players just all became big.
Yeah, no, you can see it with Barca. I think this is the first time in a very long while that they've totally abandoned the tiki-taka play.
Damn.
They don't play tiki-taka football anymore.
They play quick.
They play direct. They play direct foot. Very direct football. They have the mentality.
We're coming at you.
If you're going to score 2 goals, we're going to score 4 goals.
Damn. But they concede a lot, though.
Yeah.
They concede.
But they score more.
Yeah, I know.
For every 1 goal you're going to score, they're going to probably score 2. Go check Bayern under him. That's how they played. Very direct.
Bayern was insane.
If you're going to score under 5 Flick. Goals, we're going to score 10
that
goals.
That was the strongest Bayern team I've ever. Like I had nightmares. That's the 8-2 Bayern.
Yep. And in fact,
ruthless.
When you speak to players, right, that were in the German team that beat Brazil 7, they will give credit to Hansi Flick and not the coach at the time.
What? He was assistant coach.
He was the assistant coach at the time.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So who are we dealing with here?
I'm very scared.
Because this guy, in his first season being a head coach, takes like 6 trophies.
Yeah.
And then he
disappears. But, you know, as much as I don't want Barca to win, right?
Yeah.
Because of the fans.
Okay.
I want Barca to win because of Hansi Flick. Because I would love to see Luis Enrique and Hansi Flick.
Oh, the tactical game.
In a finals.
The final will be insane.
I might just... I'll feel like I've completed football. I don't need to watch football after that. No, I need to see my team in another league. Yeah, that's when I've completed football.
Must live long.
I need to live long enough.
Must live long.
Yeah, maybe like 2 years, I'm going to be done watching football because then I win it.
two centuries. Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to see that. Because just like how Hansi Flick has completely changed Barcelona, we see a similar case with
PSG.
Enrique and PSG.
Oh my
and
gosh. And you know,
this is what shows me the difference between when you give everything to a manager rather than when you give everything to a player.
Yeah.
Because a big difference between this year and last year was that they had a very Galacticos mindset.
That being PSG, right?
In PSG.
Yes.
Where their players were given higher favor than their squad. Mm. I mean, than their coach. Mm. And you could see this to the point of what was PSG's academy.
Yeah.
You know, PSG let go of Coleman.
Kingsley Coleman, yeah.
Who was in the academy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and there's another one. What's his name? He's in Chelsea now.
Flip.
The one who, when he celebrates, he puts the balloon and then his hands out. Nkoko.
Oh, yes.
Like, but anyway.
Yes.
And you see this, you, like, the total amount of runs Mbappe made in his match against Arsenal was 6 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The average run Dembele makes is almost three times that.
Damn.
So the problem he had with Mbappe is that Mbappe did not track back.
Okay.
Mbappe was not a part of the defense.
Mm.
He was not, and who are you to tell Mbappe that? And there's actually footages of you seeing him speak about the fact that, and he said it, Michael Jordan was the best basketball player. But
yeah.
even Michael Jordan came back for defense.
Damn.
And that's what he told Mbappe.
Wow.
And
for real.
And yeah. And now you look at it that way, and Mbappe could get away with it because the team would back Mbappe up. They wanted to keep Mbappe.
Mm.
And now Mbappe is gone. Dembele tried to do nonsense this year, and then he got suspended by the manager, and he didn't play the first Arsenal game in the group stage.
Cool.
And that's what you want. And after there, you see a different Ousmane Dembele. You're seeing a Dembele that's team-focused. You're not,
scary Dembele.
Not trying to be the best player of the hour every hour.
Yeah.
But he's become such a team player. And he's been scary. And there's Doua, who's a youngster. Now you're seeing them bring youngsters into the team. He's totally changed PSG.
Mm.
And the scary thing is that when you look at PSG now, it looks like this. Obviously, it's not his first season. But it looks like the first season of his project. So how scarier will PSG become?
My gosh.
But they need to hurry because there's another team coming.
Brewing, yes.
And they're both in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Paris FC gets into that league and they can spend money, oh boy, Red Bull and Louis Vuitton will spend money. They have the money to spend.
They will spend money.
But talking about teams brewing.
Yes.
So there are teams, right?
Teams.
That don't own their stadium.
Specifically, where are we talking about here?
So just globally even.
Globally.
Right? And obviously, much larger teams like Man United.
Do we own
Man City?
Do we own the stadium?
I believe Etihad. Man City owns it. It's not called. Yeah, Etihad.
Okay. I'll just verify that one. Camp Nou, Barca.
Bernabeu, Madrid.
Yeah.
And etc. So there are teams that do own their stadiums, but you also have teams that don't own their stadium.
Yeah.
Right? So they rent their stadium out.
Hmm. For example, Tottenham when they were at Wembley, but obviously they're
No, those ones are fine.
Yeah.
So
their stadium was like being renovated and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
So if you look in South Africa mainly, most teams don't own their stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at Man City don't own their stadium.
They don't?
Yeah, it's leased by the city council, but it's a 200-year agreement.
200-year?
Yeah.
200-year?
Yes. But when you look at teams like
200-year?
Yes.
That means the people who agreed are all going to be dead by the time.
Well, they probably are. We don't even know how far in the 200 they're in.
Okay.
Yeah, so some clubs, it's not owned by them, right? So some clubs, it's owned by the city that they're in. So Man City's one is owned by the Manchester City Council. Newcastle's owned by the Newcastle City Council. Nottingham Forest, owned by the Nottingham Forest Council. Brighton, Hove Albion is owned by Brighton University and Brighton City Council. Right,
oh,
but then
snap. Even Chelsea doesn't own the stadium.
Yes, Chelsea's one. So Chelsea's one is owned by a non-profit organization, right?
Wow.
But it's owned by the Chelsea pitch owners, which you probably find out there's an attachment to Chelsea. But anyway. But then you have clubs like Kaizer Chiefs, where their lease is coming from the stadium management. Right? So it's a separate organization.
Okay.
And now my question is, should we push, especially in countries like South Africa, for more teams to own their club? I mean, own their stadium.
Sure. That's true because I'm actually searching it and it's actually quite scary. Because I saw here that Baroka FC, which is a team in Limpopo, I think, is the only team that owns their stadium.
Yeah. And this comes out from a recent situation.
Yeah.
Where there was an event being held at Orlando Stadium. So one of two things need to happen. Because it's either that the game should have been postponed because Pirates couldn't play in their home stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or they should have been allowed to play at their home stadium. Because an event took place, obviously, over the Easter weekend, right? And the Orlando Stadium was booked.
Damn.
So, meaning Pirates needed to play in another stadium.
Mm. Man. Yeah.
And they had to play, because they still wanted to play in Joburg, so they played in the FNB Stadium. Now, when we look, right, the stadium capacity of the Orlando Stadium is 37,313,000, right? So 37,000 people, basically.
37,000 people, right? Yeah.
Yes. Did I say 37 or is it 34? Yeah, 37.
Yeah.
And the FNB Stadium is a 94,000-seater. So if they were able to pack Orlando Stadium for this game, and they took the packed Orlando Stadium and they took it to FNB, it would only be less than half.
Almost a third.
And now, when you're going into these games, it's very important that you're able to give... Yeah. It's very important that you give the... You know, that full atmosphere. You have the atmosphere.
For sure.
You know, and half-empty stadiums just don't give the atmosphere.
My gosh. Even to your opponents that are coming from whatever country they're coming from, when they come to your stadium, they should feel that, like, intimidation sort of. You know what I mean? Like, oh, wow. Damn, the stadium is packed with these fans. And you know what I mean? But now, when they come and your stadium's, like, half-empty, it's like a thing of, bro, even your own fans aren't behind you.
Yeah.
So come on.
So it's quite interesting, you know. But now, obviously, there's two sides to a coin,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at why a lot of these clubs, like, why wouldn't Man City not own their club? I mean, own their stadium, right?
Yes.
Because what happens now is, like, if certain renovations need to happen in a place, that, in an apartment that you're renting, the responsibility of that could fall into the person who is leasing to you. So meaning that clubs like, I mean, places like Manchester City Council will need to deal with the maintenance and the upgrading of the stadium.
Okay.
And then you paying some fixed cost, right? And what happens here, so these are like pros and cons of football clubs not owning their stadium.
Yeah.
And one of them is that there's financial flexibility. Renting or sharing a stadium, right, avoids massive upfront payments and debt from constructions or purchasing, allowing the club to allocate funds to player transfer, wages, or infrastructure.
Damn. What?
So we look at Tottenham, right?
Tottenham.
So the Tottenham Stadium, yes. I think, cost almost $1 billion, if not $1 billion.
To build. Hmm.
How much of that could have gone into transfer windows, you know?
Jay.
And that's like kind of what they're talking about. So now how much of that could they put in, you know? So it cost about like $1.2 to $1.5 billion dollars.
Yeah.
And then how much of this could have gone into like transfers if they were paying maybe like 10 million a month for renting. So that's what it's speaking about here. So that's a very interesting one, right? And now how much of that could have also gone into building up other infrastructure like their training ground? Because you know, most times their training ground and their main stadium aren't the same thing.
Two different places.
It could be even in two different locations. I know Bournemouth bought a golf course this past few years, and they've now changed it into a new state-of-the-art training facility.
Cool.
And it looks very nice. They did the unveiling this past weekend.
Damn.
reduces the maintenance cost. So this is what we're speaking about. Clubs are often not responsible for upkeeping, repairs, and renovations, which would be expensive. As their renovations happen, they have access to more modern facilities. So obviously the council is going to want to upgrade this because other events happen here. So they need to make sure it's state of the art. And now the clubs that work there also have. Right? So scalability, smaller clubs can use stadiums for their matches, and it will only have the current to meet the current needs they need, and they will not need to overcommit to a large and unusable venue. So you look at a team like maybe Wrexham. I don't know if Wrexham owns their stadium. So as Wrexham is going up
the rankings,
the stadium requirements that might be needed. Now, I don't know if their stadium...
True.
I think they own their stadium, actually. Yeah, they do own their stadium because they built new stands.
Cool.
So we'll take Wycombe Wanderers, right?
Yeah.
So we'll take their stadium. And now their stadium, who owns it? I'm trying to see who owns it. Constructed, former names. So now as they're needing more capacity, they can easily go and they don't own it. It's someone else who owns it. It's called Frank Adams Legacy Ltd. Right? Yeah. So now if they need to grow the stadium, they can, instead of putting millions or billions into the project, themselves, they can now just go and rent another stadium. Now the con of doing that, because there's also problems, right?
Yes.
The con of doing that is that you can have fan disconnection. Because as you move your stadium from one place to another, it can now become inaccessible to certain fans.
Exhibit A that I've seen with that is Barca.
Yes.
When they moved out of the
Camp
the,
Nou while they were renovating.
Yes, they went to that other stadium, their first one, which is on the other side, like close to the edge of
Catalonia.
Yes. And then it was very far for like fans to travel to that place.
Yes. So now there becomes a disconnect.
Yeah.
Big one. Right? And also it could be now closer to where rivalry fans are, and now people don't really want to be on that side.
Yeah.
There's a revenue loss. Clubs miss out on match day revenue streams like naming rights, right?
Mm.
So because they don't own the stadium. So let's say Spotify Camp Nou.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Any match day revenue comes from the naming rights, right? They don't pick up. That money will go straight to Spotify.
Hmm.
And then if any events happen in the stadium, they cannot claim that as revenue as it's not theirs. There's a lack of control. Clubs are limited, right, over the saying and the scheduling, like we spoke with Pirates, and the pitch condition or the stadium modifications, which can affect the match day experience or the team performance. Because what teams try to do is they try to, especially for people paying like certain fees to go to events, they try and create an entire experience for them in terms of once they get there, being able to go into certain places.
Mm.
Some of them, they have like a little buffet area, and the captain of the club will actually come in to greet people and say a little speech before going out.
Yeah.
So creating that match day experience
as
well.
That like family vibe type. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome.
And then obviously now rental cost in the long term can become more than ownership cost in the short term.
Which is insane.
Because if you look at it, some clubs could be in their stadiums, their rented stadiums for years, like 200 years, you know? And if you say, let's say they're paying 20 mil, right? 20 mil over, as I put, 20,000, 200, sorry. If they're 20, paying...
20,000, yes, we receive.
If they're paying 20 million, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So if they're paying 20 million, right, over 12 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, and then we times that by 200 years. I think that's about 48 billion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
48 what? Damn.
That is a lot of money.
Hmm. Wow.
I was right. 48 billion. Hell yeah. I can look at numbers one shot.
Let's go. That's insane.
Then I look at Tottenham's 1 billion. I'm like, that's not bad. You know, just 1 bill, 48. But obviously this is on an assumption that they're paying 20 mil a month.
No.
Could be more, it could be less. I can go do research probably. It's probably out there as their financials need to be displayed. But it's crazy.
There are. It's approximately 3 million.
3 million.
3 million.
So if we do that same calculation as we close off.
Yeah.
So if it's 3 million, so mm-hmm. 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's how I make sure I know the million. I'll say times 12 months, right? And then we take that and we say times 200 years, right? That is about, I think, 72 million or 720 million.
No, that's 7 billion.
Is it 7 billion? Okay, I got my reading wrong this time. So that's 7 billion.
Damn, they're still paying seven times what? But that's 200 years.
Yeah, and then we're not including inflation.
Oh yeah, and also the loss of cash that would have incurred.
Yeah,
with like things like the basically the pros of having your own stadium.
Yep. So they're not even making that money back from.
They would have lost out.
Yeah, but also it's oil money, so it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. Don't need to worry too much. We worry more about the fact that Pirates. How much is Pirates paying for their stadium? How much is Chiefs paying for their stadium?
Yeah.
Pirates pays, because I know Orlando is and Rand Stadium, which is where they do their training, is both owned by the same business.
Do you think that Chiefs is paying a whole lot of money for FNB and as a result can't seem to get the transfers right?
It could be.
In my mind, Chiefs transfers never make sense.
It could be. It could be a lack of money.
Yeah.
You know? Also, it could be that I just believe Chiefs is run poorly. By
yeah, and also anyway. Chiefs, like the stadium is always empty, bro. Always. Yeah.
No, but again.
It is a 94-seater.
You have a 94,000-seater.
So most times, things will look empty.
No, like, if you put 3,000 people in there, it looks like 5 or 10. Like
5 people, you see. But if we do things right.
And, like, this is the thing, you know. And we do have to wrap up now. But this is the thing, you know. When you're owning a club, that's a question you need to ask yourself. You know, do we need to be at at FNB? But what's the alternative?
Mm.
How much would it be to build your own stadium?
Come to Rand Stadium.
I doubt they want to be in Rand Stadium. They're a Sowetan club.
It's 20K. Okay, yeah. Yeah. True.
They're a Sowetan club. They're not going to want to come down here.
Good point. Good.
But maybe one day we'll have our own team here that actually thrives and cares about the community and not like, you know, other teams in red that we're not going to name here. But that is it for this show. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We are
perfect time to end.
Signing out before I start insulting people with love and compassion.
Okay, cool.
This is from me, the one, the only DJ Stones. And with me here is
for this show, the tribal chief DJ Sticks.
I acknowledge you.
Thank you.
We are signing out.
Peace.
Peace. Yo, the boys and girls, we're here to mash up the place. Yeah. I'm one of the youngest in age. Yeah. So make sure you're watching this. Cold. Time and time and time again, I know that I saw my sins. You don't see my sin no more. Haven't you heard? It's the Netflix of radio.
Radio has never been better.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.